has been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show, Week in Review with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. 23 years behind the desk as a professional money manager and doing this radio show. And we're going to take a look at this past week. It was another volatile week. I Seeking Alpha called the trading on Wednesday vomit-inducing. Well, you know, I got through the day okay, but it just goes to show you the amount of volatility that we've seen, extreme volatility in the market here. For instance, on Thursday at 9:25 a.m., Eastern Standard Time, the Dow was down about 500 points. It finished up almost 900 points, and really it was kind of unexplainable. And I got to say that I really didn't see anything that convinced me that the bear market that we're currently in ended on Thursday. You know, I'd like to see a little follow-through after that big day, but so far that hasn't come, so... All in all, it was about an even week. The inflation report obviously was a really big deal on Thursday, the CPI report. The drama in the UK, oil and gas had a big week. So we got a lot to talk about here on this week in review edition of the Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds. What's an inverse fund, you say? Well, we'll talk about that in a bit. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. We are a nationwide, virtual, fee-based only firm that manages several portfolios for folks all across America. My show has been heard for the last 23 years in different iterations, different cities. But we pretty much have the coast covered these days from coast to coast with our show. I produce a newsletter every Saturday that I've been writing for the last 23 years. It's a market timing newsletter, and it has our current take on the market. It has all of our portfolios, any changes that have been made. We have portfolios, about six in the newsletter, that range from the most conservative to the most aggressive. We have been in a defensive posture for the better part of the year, using a lot of cash, using a lot of inverse funds to get through this current bear market that we are in. We had a 13-year bull from 2009 to 2022. The Fed pretty much put an end to that, and it doesn't look like the Fed is done yet. It looks like the Fed pivot is still off in the future. Let's bring in Barry Keit, our chartered financial analyst, and get his take on what the Fed will do next. You think we're looking at more 75 basis point hikes, Barry?
I think we've at least got one, right?
At least one.
Yeah, at least one. Of course, you know, I'm trying to figure out what was more volatile, the markets this week or the UK and what's going on over there. They ended the week by firing their finance minister.
So, yes.
And shortest term finance ministry holding in history,
something like
short
that.
Of a death. So
wow.
Somebody must have passed away in a short period of time before.
Wow.
But and that spans over 200 years, by the way. So
wow.
Big things. Powell, of course, CPI number came in, you know, pretty hot this week. I was real surprised, as I think were a lot of people. How the market reacted after, you know, a couple of hours after the CPI came out on Thursday with the big rally, and looking through the markets and looking through other pundits and other people who, you know, who follow this stuff, you know, it didn't really get much of it. There wasn't really much of an explanation of why the market went and did what it did.
Yeah,
I'm sure the Fed isn't done yet.
No.
That's one thing I know.
Well, I've heard different theories. The most popular theory seems to be algorithms kicking in. Computer trading.
I mean, I was thinking that, but at the same time, you know, they're part of the market now, right? You know, even go back to a great book was Flash Boys. Quants was another one, which, you know, those books are now almost 10 years old.
Right.
And, you know, they make big moves in the market, but yeah, I mean, that's all that we could, you know, in terms of volume, that's really the only thing that I think that could have maybe cascaded it up, right?
Yeah, when the short interest, I think there's a big dose of short interest.
I would agree with that, certainly.
I wouldn't rule out Fed intervention either. I really wouldn't. You're seeing intervention in the UK. They go in and buy bonds, and our Fed has bought stocks in the past with intervention. So that's another theory. The third theory, I guess, were some people thinking that inflation has – that was the inflation peak yesterday.
Yeah, and okay. How would you unless it's a bet, right? Then I mean that's it. I mean,
I'm not seeing anything really to convince me to get out of the defensive posture that we're in. I'm pretty proud of the, you know, how we've positioned folks here this year. You know, we write the newsletter to try to give you the best advice we possibly can. I'm the veteran of two big bear markets back in 2000, the dot-com bubble crash, and, of course, the financial crisis crash. This is the third one. I feel more prepared this time for that. This one, having lived through those other two. I really think the bear began in early 2021 when the Fed first started to hike interest rates, and we backed out of all of the stuff that we did so well with in 2020, more of the speculative end of the spectrum of the market. And then the Fed kind of backed off because we had a couple of rounds more of COVID left, Delta and Omicron. Otherwise, I think the Fed would have kept hiking. They backed off, postponed their hikes for about 6 months, 7 months. And then they started going full force and signaling, you know, the freight train's coming around the track back in November of last year, about a year ago.
Day after Thanksgiving, yeah, we all were full, and then he felt it was time to hit us with bad news.
We got smacked right between the eyes. That was the time to get out of bond funds. I hope you did. If you listened to us, you did. We said they're right in the way of a freight train. Being driven by Chairman Jerome Powell of the Fed, the bond funds have been nailed this year for about 15%. That's just Treasury bond funds, let alone high-yield or corporate bond funds. And we also warned that the growth stocks, anything with a P.E. ratio, you know, that's higher than the lower P.E. ratios in like the Dow and the industrials was at risk. Because as interest rates go up, P.E. ratios contract. The multiple contracts. The multiple on the S&P 500 has gone from 23 to 15. And that explains most of the loss in the S&P 500. And we warned you that, you know, stocks were also in the way of rising interest rates because their multiples shrink. And we've been in a very defensive posture for the better part of the year by using cash, by using inverse funds. I'm unconstrained as a money manager. I can go where I want to go when I need to. And if you want to see our current stance on the market, some think maybe we bottomed on Thursday. Well, I'll be writing the newsletter. That thing only goes out to our clients and our subscribers. I have a lot of do-it-yourselfers that follow my advice or, you know, my take on the market, my observations. I'm in the market every day from open to close, deep in the water, looking at 6,000 different stocks, ETFs, mutual funds in my database. I report back on a daily basis to the subscribers. And, of course, the newsletter every week summarizes what we observed in the market and what we see going forward. Now, we are offering two free weeks of the newsletter That's for our clients and subscribers only. To anybody who goes to GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com, we need your email address so we know where to send it. And our main job here is I'm a professional money manager. Barry's a financial planner, certified financial planner, and a chartered financial office. We've got a big back office here. We're a virtual firm. You don't have to drive downtown, park in a 19-story building, and fight traffic. You can set up an appointment with us. We've had a lot of emergency appointments this year. A lot of people feel like their advisors being passive and not active in what's a very active market. So you can also set up a virtual appointment with us at 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now Week in Review with professional money manager Bill Gunderson of Gunderson Capital Management. You can learn more about us at GundersonCapital.com. Our firm, the 23 years I've been in the industry, Barry, over 20 years, and we've seen a lot. I'm sure there's still a lot more to come. But here is, now, you know, let's just go back for a minute to Thursday's big rally, which really was kind of unexplainable. I mean, one minute you looked after the CPI report came in hotter than expected. The market, the Dow was down 500 points. I think I went outside to get some fresh air, you know, take a little walk. I came back in and the Dow was up 500 points. I said, what in the world just happened? And I really have not heard a good explanation. Well, I'll tell you, if it was a market bottom, which is very doubtful because the market's in a horrible downtrend, I'll be showing that in my newsletter this weekend with the charts, you would want to see some follow-through, okay? When a bottom is in, you get some very conviction-type buying to follow through, and so far on Friday here, we're not seeing that. In fact, the Dow now down 200 after being up this morning. Let's just take let's just look at the scoreboard, okay, where we're at so far this year and why we say, now I've been pretty much a bull since 2009 in the market, March of 2009, when I said a new bull market is being born. And that bull market pretty much remained in place until the COVID year of 2020. We had a very short bear market that lasted a few months, and then we went right back into bull mode. And the reason the market's been going up is because earnings have been going up for the S&P 500. During the bull that was still in place until recently here when the market started going south, earnings have been rising. We went from $60 per share in the year 2008 to $205 per share last year, and we're looking for $220 per share this year. And you know, you multiply that by 20 or 18 or whatever, and there's the reason why the S&P 500 has gone up for the last 12. However, the market is now looking forward. It's looking to next year, 2023, and the year after that, 2024. And we do have earnings estimates out there that I'll be publishing again. I'll be publishing my target price. But there's a lot of question marks around those earnings, you know? I mean, that's our best guess right now, but will inflation continue? Will the Fed continue? Is the world going into a global recession, which is what it appears to be? Will Russia amp up their attacks? Will energy prices continue to rise? You got to be a little bit cautious on your outlook right now for 2023 earnings and 2024. I'll be publishing mine. I am below the consensus right now. and that will be in the newsletter. Most important page in the newsletter, the macro outlook, because everything else flows from there. Again, you can get 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com. S&P, as of Thursday, down 23% year-to-date. Ouch. And that's your index funds. If you're a buy-and-hold index investor, we don't believe in buy-and-hold. We're not asset allocators. We believe that when earnings estimates start to drop, forecasts start to drop, that's trouble for the stock market. We also believe that when interest rates begin to rise, which was signaled over a year and a half ago, not a good time to be invested in the bond funds, the bond funds. Okay to own individual bonds, but the bond funds are in big trouble. Now, here's just a little lesson on inverse funds. SH is the opposite of SPY. SH is up 23.7% so far this year. So you have a choice as an investor. You don't have to own the index S&P 500. You could use as a hedge maybe a little bit of SH, which goes up. If the S&P goes down 2% tomorrow, it will go up 2% tomorrow. It's not meant to be a long-term hold, an inverse fund, but they can sure come in handy when the weather gets rough. Out there on the market, the ocean of the market. The Dow is down 17% year to date. The NASDAQ is down 32%. And therein lies another lesson, okay? Why is the NASDAQ down 32% and the Dow down only 17%? Well, as interest rates go up, there's a truism in the market that P/E ratios shrink. And the higher the P/E ratio, the more it's going to shrink, all right? And in the NASDAQ, you have much higher P/E ratios on average than the Dow. The Dow has held up better this year. The dividend stocks have held up better this year. The Dow's down 17% year-to-date. NASDAQ, 32%. The tech stocks continue to look horrible. I look at over 6,000 in my database every day. It's charts like Amazon, Apple, AMD, Intel. They just look horrible. Facebook, Google, horrible. I can't sit here and say to you that they've put in a bottom and now it's time to step up to the plate and be all over these. If you're still in them, well, you've got a choice to make. I think there's further downside risk in the tech stocks and in the NASDAQ myself, and I back that up with the charts that I look at every day, and I back that up with the earnings forecast that continue to go south a little bit for 2023-2024.
Morgan Stanley's investment banking earnings fell a ton, and what that tells you is that, you know, they make a lot of their money in bringing companies to public or, you know, making private equity deals, things of that nature. And a lot of it for a long time now has revolved around, tech startups and things of that nature. And, you know, when that activity slows down and deal making slows down, that is a signal of, potential recession, in recession, or, certainly an economic slowdown.
Yeah, we've already had 2 quarters of negative GDP. We're going to get the 3rd quarter later this month. That'll be the last one before the big midterm election in November.
Yeah, 2 weeks from yesterday is when we'll get it. So it'll be the 27th. I've gotten written in front of me on my screen here because for some reason that date I couldn't keep it in my head. But yeah, it's 2 weeks from yesterday.
So. And we believe that we currently are in a recession. And you know, like UK. Europe more than likely also in recession right
Germany,
now.
Germany just announced this week that they expect their economy to contract, I think 0.3-0.4% next year. So they're already saying they're going to be in a recession if they aren't already in one.
Okay, so with the NASDAQ down 32%, we've been using PSQ, which is an inverse ETF against the NASDAQ. When the NASDAQ gets clobbered by 3% in a day, it goes up. The inverse NASDAQ is up about 32% this year to be used judiciously, okay? We don't go overboard, But to hedge just makes sense in a market like this. Is your money manager doing any hedging in your portfolio? This is Bill Gunnarsson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now Week in Review show, being brought to you by Gunderson Capital Management, a virtual nationwide firm with clients all across America, and our show heard daily, Monday through Friday, in a lot of markets across America. And the podcast, the show gets turned into a podcast. It's uploaded to all the popular podcast sites every day. If you missed any shows this past week, it was a wild and woolly week. Extreme volatility, I think, will continue for sure. I see no reason for it cooling down. I have 23 years of experience as a professional money manager, used to write up research reports on individual companies earlier in my career. Barry Kite's a chartered financial analyst, certified financial planner. And we were going over the scorecard year to date before we went to break. We left off with the NASDAQ down 32% so far this year. The tech stocks still look terrible. They still look ugly. They still do not look like they have bottomed to me. Now, let's go to the out into the world. The total world index is down 25.2%. You know, the world has lost one-fourth of its market value in the market. That's a big hit. And the emerging markets have even done worse than that. They're down about 27%. So personally, we don't have anything invested. If we do have anything invested, it's here in the U.S., and it's mostly in the oil and gas stocks, which are about the only sector that is working this year. And it could be the only sector. Tech, no. Financials, no. Industrials, no. Real estate stocks, no. Real estate's really been hit with the rising interest rate. REITs have been clobbered. Fixed income, bond market, bond ETFs have been clobbered. There's not much working out there other than cash, inverse funds, and energy stocks. The energy stocks had a huge day on Thursday. Europe down 31% year-to-date. Look at the issues that Europe is facing right now with the war in Ukraine, the end to the Nord Stream pipeline. They're not getting any gas through that pipeline. They're scrambling. Apparently, they have 90% of what they need right now to get through the winter. They've been stockpiling. Firewood is a hot item in Europe. Europe is seemingly going into a recession. I saw some interesting comments from the Chevron CEO, and I totally agree with it. He says, you know, you're running away from fossil fuels into green energy a little bit too quickly. You know, we're not ready. And you've kind of shot yourself in the foot, which they have, by shutting down a lot of production. Shell was talking about a big oil field they have off of the Netherlands, which they're only allowed to take so much out of every year by the Netherlands. In fact, Shell's ready to just move away from that field, which has a lot of natural gas in it, because they can't make any money. If they say, well, you can only sell so much Pepsi this year, we're going to limit you. This, you know, they've shot themselves in the foot from their energy prices are soaring in the Eurozone. Much more than in the U.S., and that alone has been a big part of what's putting them into a recession. And they really don't have the will. I don't see it, and I don't see it here in the U.S. either. OPEC cuts by 2 million barrels. You'd think we would counter by saying, well, we're going to up the ante and we're going to start, you know, bringing the oil and the gas out of our fields to counter what you've done. I have not seen one move whatsoever in that direction.
No, and these are, in, you know, from a finance standpoint, these are long-term, long-term investments. You can't, you don't just, invest for a year and then, they change the rules on you 2 years later and then, well. I mean, no, these are, long-term infrastructure projects, right? You don't get paid off in year one or two. I mean, you've got to operate these fields for an extended period of time to make the profit. And, if you can't count on, government to, at least keep the rules the same when you started the project, right? Well, then, it makes it uninvestable.
Yeah, I think the money line from the CEO of Shell, Ben Van Beurden, he said that it's obvious, and we're hearing it about here in the U.S., that they've done everything that they can possibly do since day one to make it difficult and almost impossible to drill or to produce fossil fuels in the U.S. It's said. In fact, this comes from Chevron CEO, actually. The other one was Shell CEO. The Chevron CEO today, he made a comment that the Biden administration has entered office with a very clear agenda to make it more difficult for our industry to deliver energy to customers, and called the White House's response to the current energy crisis all tactical, including a ban on fuel exports and continuing to release strategic petroleum reserves. And instead of turning to Texas, we turn to Venezuela. Okay, I'm not going to belabor the point, but this is a major crisis. The energy crisis that Europe is now faced with is major. I mean, they're shutting down factories because there's not enough energy to provide those factories. Okay, back to the scorecard. Europe down 31%. That's their market. China, with their mandatory lockdowns, where they go in and board up a high-rise, and you can't come out of that high-rise, or they fence a neighborhood, and you can't leave that neighborhood. China's down 33% year-to-date, their market, 33%. Russia has stopped trading, obviously. When it halted back in February, it was down 79%. Bitcoin down 60% this year. You can see that the appetite for risk has gone way down, obviously. 7 to 10 year Treasury ETF down 17%. That's unheard of. That's the worst year for the bond market that I've seen since I've been in the business. And we warned that that was coming. And, there's a popular strategy out there that's called asset allocation, the 60-40 rule, the 70-30 rule. If you're 70 years old, you should have 70% of your money in the bond market. Hooey to that. I have never, ever liked that strategy. It dumbs down our industry. It lets robots manage your portfolio and make those quarterly adjustments to an asset allocation. You don't want to have any exposure to the bond ETFs, bond funds, in a rising interest rate environment. The proof is in the pudding there. The U.S. bonds down 16.8%. High yield down about 18%. Why? Because we began the year, rates were at 1.51. That's where the 10-year was at when we started the year. We're at almost 4%. Barry, did you see what the 2-year did yesterday after the CPI print? Did you see where that closed? I was shocked.
Yeah, where it was at, 4.5-ish or so in that range?
4.41% yeah. On the 2-year, while the 10-year is just under 4, right around 4. So you still have a massive inverted yield curve, which has been flashing recession for months now. And yet we're being told, well, there's not going to be a recession. And if it is, it'll just be mild. Well, I don't know so much about that. And here's another big problem as we finish up the scorecard here. The U.S. dollar is up 18% this year. And for that reason, gold and silver have been terrible investments in 2022. You would think inflation, they would be good, but the dollar against other currencies around the world, probably the strongest year for the dollar that I've seen since I've been in the industry. And, of course, that hurts earnings from multinational companies that do business overseas, bring back the foreign currencies, convert them to dollars, and they lose a lot of money in the transaction. That's having a major impact on precious metals. It's having a major impact on the emerging markets.
Yeah, gold down 8.5% this year.
Yeah, and last but not least, one of the positives in the green this year, crude oil. Does that help me? Well, if you own oil stocks, yes, and we do. It doesn't help me at the gas pump. Oil's up 18.3%, but it was up a whole lot more here recently until we started releasing our strategic oil reserves. We'll be right back.
You gotta go where you wanna go. Do what you wanna go.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I will be preparing the newsletter, sending it out this Saturday like I've done for the last 23 years. Every single Saturday we'll have the current portfolios that we own, which are hedged with inverse funds, which have a high degree of cash, and which are focused only in the sectors that are working this year. And there's not many of those. We are unconstrained as investors. I don't have to be invested 100% in the market. I can have as much cash as I want on the sidelines, waiting it out. I can use inverse funds if I feel like that's necessary. And, you know, I play that song, Go Where You Want to Go. At the end of the day, each individual person is responsible for their portfolios, where they have their portfolios parked, who's managing their portfolios, who's not managing their portfolios in a market like this. I have always believed in a little bit of active management, you know, by not letting things get out of hand, by watching the individual holdings at our firm very aggressively every single day, by being vigilant, by knowing what's going on in the world. When you get interest rates coming down for 40 years from 1982 to 2022, and then they turn the corner and look where we're at. I mean, we're almost at 7% right now. We're almost at 7% on the 30-year mortgage. That's a seismic shift in the market. How can you be passive during a time like that and do nothing? So, I mean, you've got to ask yourself, has your advisor done anything? I've talked to some folks. They're not very happy. I mean, they're down 30-35% so far this year. They're being told to stay the course, to ride it out. Well, I can just tell you, I don't know. I think it's going to go further from here. I don't know if it will be as bad as the year 2000. The NASDAQ was down 79% in the year 2000. The S&P was down 53% in the year 2007. It just depends on where we go from here with the Fed hiking interest rates aggressively, where we go from here with GDP. We're looking probably at a third quarter coming up when we get the report of negative GDP. It depends on where we go with inflation also. Very important, very critical. But, you know, it's not a time to have your offense on the field, that's for sure. You have to have some defense to bring out onto the field when it gets rough. I mean, other areas of the market have taken it even harder. We always remind folks, Cathie Wood's, her ARK fund, down about 65% so far this year. Why? Because it's in long-duration, high-PE stocks, which, you know, if you're young and can wait for that you know, the rockets to the moon and rocket labs and gene editing and that kind of stuff to come to fruition. But if you're near retirement or at retirement, you can't afford to be in those areas of the market. Growth stocks this year, terrible place to be. International, terrible place to be. Emerging markets, terrible place to be. Bond funds, terrible place to be. And you look at your own portfolio. Are you in those areas of the market? You have to ask yourself, why am I in these areas of the market? Who's minding the mint? Who's managing? Who's being vigilant and watching my portfolio for me on a daily basis? Maybe you manage your own, and it's just gotten really, really difficult. We have a lot of people that have said, yeah, I manage it myself, but I miss a day or two, and with the things happening so quickly here, before I know it, I might have a stock that's down 30, 40, 45, 50% in a few days because of the volatility that's in the market right now. Well, we are active managers. I'm not day trading, but I vigilantly look at all of my holdings every single day. I go through my database. I invented the Best Stocks Now app, which is in the Apple Store, and also on the web at beststocksnowapp.com. It's a rating. It's a ranking grading process. That database is updated every single day after the close with the new data. There's not a lot of movement within it, you know, from a day-to-day basis. It's been the energy stocks and the inverse ETFs that have been the top ranked. The rankings that I wrote the formulas for, they're based on performance, momentum, and valuation where possible. And then I finish that off with a visual look at the top-ranked stocks every single day. And lately, I've been putting together, as just a service to all my followers out there, I've been putting out a list. As I go through the market every day, I screen through 6,000. I look at the top-ranked stocks visually. I've been coming up with a list every day of about 60. That represents the top 1% of all the market as far as performance, valuation, and looking good from a technical point of view. I do that process every day, and so I said, you know, I may as well keep a little record, send it out to folks to try to help them at a time like this. So until further notice, I'm sending that out every day to everybody on my mailing list, my email list. If you want to get on that list, get the weekly newsletter for 2 weeks, and the best potential trade ideas now list every single trading day, complimentary from a guy with 23 years of experience in the business, go to GundersonCapital.com and sign up for our trading list and newsletter, GundersonCapital.com. And if you'd like to talk to us, you don't have to get in a car and drive downtown. We do virtual appointments. I have a central location where we do business out of. I have my back office is on the West Coast. We're on the East Coast, and we also have compliance and back office in the middle of the country. So we're here to serve you. Call us, set up an appointment. Edie is our appointment setter. 855-611-BEST. Barry, we got 1 minute. You got anything to say?
Well, I just, you know, if you're worried about your portfolio, if you've got questions, you know, I always tell, you know, our own clients, you know, don't suffer in silence. Talk to us, and you know, we encourage you to do the same with your advisor and to us. We're happy to look at it, anything we can.
All right, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, or GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day. Have a great weekend, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities.
Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.